I was telling Pastor, I don't know what I'd do without Kathy. She's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, right? I can't hate her, right? The Bible says that's a sin. But I cherish her. And I'm thankful that we are part of the family of God. So in this part of our mission emphasis this morning, I spoke about being an encouragement and being an example. How many were not here? I'm not trying to put you on the spot, so you can catch up what you didn't get this morning. Just keep your encouragement right here and being a good example for Pastor and just following his footsteps. Amen? But this morning, I want to just share once again about faith and family. The Bible says in Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, we have those opportunities, amen, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I know in church planning, whether it be in Indonesia, for those that weren't here, we were there for several years. Church is still alive and well. They named it, you know, agape is from John 3:16, for God so loved that word, you know, phileo, and then eros, and then agape, God's infinite love. And the church is doing well, but now God's allowed us to church plant here in Crestview, Florida, population 25K and growing. I tell you, we have a lot of military couples in our church, and I'm just thankful that God's allowed us to concentrate on taking them right where they are. We don't try to, and pastor's very good, Brother Mickey Muse, M-U-S-E. You know, I looked that word up, and it means to think on, to meditate. It's kind of like Selah in the Old Testament. But if you put A in front of Muse, it means to entertain. So our church is not to entertain folks. We like to have fun. You know, I like to go to games and do things, but our church is to preach the gospel. And that's why Brother Muse, he and I met when I was in South Alabama, and he said, Brother Hanson, why don't you come and let's practice what we preached. And that was, excuse me, we would go in churches that didn't have a pianist, didn't have a song leader, just a few people, and just try to encourage them, knock on doors, and just let them know that there is a local, fundamental, independent Baptist church that cares about souls. And we were able to do that. He did that for several years, and then we did it overseas and right here in the States. But first of all, when I think about the household of faith, I think about the family. And as I mentioned in Sunday school, I'm teaching through Paul's ministry, the prison epistles, and that's where I got started. I wasn't in. I've been in since then. I was in prison, jail, but I started preaching in the Chattanooga City Jail on a Sunday morning. When I'd come in from church, I was, you know, how we dress in our suit, and I'd sit down next to Kathy, and she'd say, you don't smell good. I said, well, honey, I said, that's part of jail ministry. So, you know, we like to smell sweet, and we like to be appealing, but this morning, I want to just share with you, I'm a visual aid guy, okay? I want to just share with you that my wife bought these flowers, okay? Now, what does she want me to do?
Plant,
okay? Well, a church plant, it may not just be flowers. It might be a fruit tree. And lo and behold, I planted me a fruit tree there. And I'm not from Florida. I'm from Georgia. But I planted my tree and the frost, of all things, came along and killed my fruit tree. So, well, it died, killed it down. And then I thought, Lord, I put a lot of work into this. You know, that's the way missionaries, you put your heart and soul into family, okay? And you put everything you've got, and you say, now, Lord, I want this church to be blessed, and I want to see folks walk the aisle and get saved. But, you know, sometimes you just got to plant and replant. So on my little tree, I looked at it and I shook the soil and I cultivated around it, put a little fertilizer, and lo and behold, it came back up. I mean, I've got sprouts on it now, but it didn't die out completely. But you know, church planting is kind of like that. You might have a building and you've got instruments, you've got podium, pews, songbooks, but you don't have the people. You don't have what the ministry is. And my pastor, he always says, you know, the people are the problem. And I said, yeah, that's ministry though. But you know, we're one of them. You know, he that is without sin, let him what? Cast the first stone. So we're all sinners, saved by grace. But when you're working with families, what you do is you find their strengths. It's not to make you look good, because pastor has a stump grinding business. I think Brother Carroll knows this. And I help them sometimes, as long as my body can hold out. Now, the machine does the work, but you got to do all the tools. But you know, ministry is not about machines, and it's not about methods. It's about people working through the power of the Holy Spirit in their life, and that's where faith comes in the Word of God. What does Hebrews say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So when you're planning church, when you're soul winning or knocking on doors, you don't go in there and knock the door down. You know, sometimes you go to the door and you get it slammed in your face. Sometimes they're real receptive. We went visiting a few days ago, and this lady was a widow lady. She had her granddaughter there that played the piano. And I found out all that. And she says, I think the Lord sent you by. And I was with Brother Dave, and he plays the violin. He's just came from Italy. And I believe the Lord puts us in the right place at the right time. I believe that's the providence of God. But God wants us to exercise our faith. And that's like a muscle. A pastor and I have lost 30 pounds. I said, well, we're a 60-pound yearling here. I said, and we're challenging each other. And so when I eat today, I'm not going to be on my diet, Pastor. But when we work to what? Eat. Right? If you don't work, you don't eat. And we're teaching that to the kids in the church and to the adults. And so here the other day, when I'm talking about the household of faith, we rent this real estate office. And they're really good. We pay the utilities. But that's where our church is. A church plant needs roots. And so we've got land. We bought over 5 acres. We paid for the land cash. But now we can't get Okaloosa to give our permits. So if anybody here knows, I thought, well, you're in the homes. If you know anything about Okaloosa, come over and help us. But we put in, and every time we turn around, it's like something is going. You say, what's that have to do with the household of faith? Because it's like the county's against us. They said, why do you need another church? I said, well, why do you need another pair of shoes? I said, the Bible says, beautiful are the feet that preach the gospel. I said, no matter where you go, there's people. And if you know anything about up there where we live, I mean, people are moving in right and left. I don't know about homes, but I mean, the military, they brought in another army units coming in. And I was in the Army Aviation back in 79, a long time ago. But people are moving in, and God is bringing people to the church. And you say, well, how are you reaching them? Well, we do a little door knocking, but we've not been too successful. But we have a big sign out front, and we're putting that sign out there to say, this is a church where the gospel is preached. And we've had people just, you know, the Bible says in the concourse, you know, out where you can see it. But if there's not a sign, you know, if you're not off, and if you're off the beaten path, put a sign out somewhere. And that's what we did. We saw we're signing here. My thought is that if we're going to reach the multitudes, and that's really what it is, they may not be in your church, but the seed is going to be sown. So when you sow these seeds, and it gives you on the back of this bag of seeds, it gives you the type of climate that you need for that seed to flourish. And I believe that no matter where you are, and I said it in Sunday school, a geographical location is where God opens the door for you. So even though Kathy and I were in Indonesia, and this morning I shared some of this, I was at Scientific Atlanta. I love my job. I went from building cables in the back of the plant to all the way to the front office. And I was an expediter for getting things shipped out. And I knew the process, but God was training me, just like Paul told Timothy. He says, you remember you had a faithful mother and grandmother. Some of us here are mothers and grandmothers, right? And even if you didn't have children naturally, you adopted some or you're raising some. And grandma and mother taught you right. They gave you the truth unto salvation, but they didn't save you. The grace of God saved you. And Paul says, now I'm going to take you. I'm going to what? I'm going to what? Groom you. I'm going to cultivate what they planted, and God, the Holy Spirit, is going to grow you, because you're going to be in the charge one day at the church of Ephesus. A lot of times when we read our Bible, you say, oh yeah, the book of Colossians. Philemon was a member at the church of Colossae. Philemon had a slave named Onesimus that stole from him and met Paul where? In prison in Rome. He gets saved, and then Paul writes the letter of Philemon, right? Back to Philemon because of Onesimus that stole from him, and says, accept him as one of us. Put it on my bill. Amen. That's our salvation. Amen. The Bible says that Christ is our at-one-ment. Colossians tells us that the handwriting of the ordinances have been nailed to the cross. When I worked in the prison ministry, if someone got a pardon, then they were pardoned, but there was still a record of it, right? But when you get saved by the grace of God, that letter that God has nailed to the cross says it's finished. I'll cast your sins as far as the east is from the west and into the depths of the sea. And that's why when God planted me in the jail ministry, it was a little stinky, okay? It didn't smell good. But the Holy Spirit of God brought sweetness to my heart. And the Bible says, He is sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. Now, you're out here in the country. I know you got some honey somewhere. You got some hives. But you know what? You got to know how to draw that honey. And that's why Bible study for a missionary is just like for anybody else. When I went to Indonesia, I had to learn, I'm going to interpret, I'm not speaking in tongues, well I am, but it says, Karana begitu basara kasiala, for God's love is so big. That's John 3:16. And when you're preaching in a foreign language, it's just like here. It's the same Holy Ghost that happened in Babel when the Holy Ghost left. And they were confused. It's the same Holy Ghost that came in Acts chapter 2. And they heard the word of God and they believed. Amen. Now, I had to learn the foreign language because you can't repeat Pentecost. But you can repeat the power of God every day. It says, be filled with the Spirit. That's what's so exciting. People get all confused because we went to language school, Brother Carroll, with people from other groups. I won't name any names. Might be somebody here that get offended. But they had to learn the language just like I did. My wife used to talk in her sleep. And I said, Lord, you've planted us here. And I said, I want to bloom. I want to flourish. I want to let others see my conversation. I want to do something for you, the fruit that will remain. And the Lord said, just be patient. My wife says, you'll get it. You'll get it. So after about 2 or 3 years, I could preach without notes. But, you know, it's important that we are in the household of faith. Why? Because God's putting together the family. Now, I'm not in for ecumenicalism, like you just forget a little bit of what you believe and I'll forget a little bit of what I believe and we'll just come together. That's not truly scriptural. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, but we are to stand upon the word of God. So when God led us to Indonesia, and then from there, we served a little bit in Canada. I've got all these dates because, you know, when you get 68 and over, you forget dates. But I remember I was born, amen. I remember the day I saved and the day I took my wonderful wife. Don't forget your anniversary, May 6th. I'm 5'4", 54. She's 4'24", 54. I met an older woman. She's 10 days older. But you know what? I am so thankful this morning here at, oh, what? Mount Zion. And I told the folks in Sunday school, our church is Old Swanee because they built our home church in the farm community of the town. Now the address is Buford, Georgia. But it's a town where they were farmers. And they planted the Word of God and they said, we need local churches. So a man came back from the Civil War and planted 3 churches, and my church is one of them. And they're still going, Pastor, after 194 years. That's amazing. And that's why it's so important that when we plant, we need to what? We need to water it. Some plant, some water, but what? God gives the increase. So you say, well, our church is not real big. I'm telling you right now, you got a great congregation. I've been in churches when it's just me and the wife, and she would play, I'd lead the singing and preach to the pews. I tell you, the Lord was there, but you were saying, and somebody coming in and you'd overwhelm them. I mean, you'd be hugging on them, saying, hey, man, we're glad you're here. I said, man, what kind of church is this? They didn't want no holy kiss. They just said, okay, brother. But I'm excited because the Lord has given us the Macedonia call. And that Macedonia call, really, if you think about it, it was really originated from some women that were praying. And a lot of times you say, well, how does that work? When you, as God's people, pray, God answers. He might say yes, he might say no, he might say wait a little bit. But God does answer. And that's why this morning I was thinking about some things, and I just thought about my wife wanting me to plant these. So let's take our Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want to just give you 5 quick points, and we're going to lunch, okay? The Bible says that we're not just giving ourselves, but we're sowing. We are sowing. And Kathy says, now I want those in the garden. I said, now honey, you come out there with me. But the key to these flowers flourishing, what? Is the right kind of what? Soil. And you know the parable of some fell on good ground, some fell on hard ground, some the ravens came, and other was good soil. So those 4 types of soil reminds us that God wants us to be what? Church planters. You say, oh, God's not calling me to church plant. Well, he's called you to sow the seed of the gospel where we are. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, For as touching the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous. Now I had to, where's my little Bible dictionary? It's over there. I had to look that word up. That means it's not really necessary. You know, my wife, I love her, and she don't necessarily have to hear me say I love her, but she loves it. Honey, I love you. That's what superfluous means. When a preacher preaches, ye must be born again, there might be somebody that's not saved. You say, Brother James, Pastor Carol, I know that. Just go on. But look at that word again. It says, for as touching the ministry to who? That's the church. And that's who I'm preaching to this morning. Now, if you're here and you've never been birthed into the family of God, I believe the Holy Spirit's got your name and your number. And He knows when you are able to receive Him. And that's today. It says, today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. So it's saying here, it's not necessary, superfluous, big word, hard to say, for me to write unto you, for I know that the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them at Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain, in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Verse 4. Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared. Now that's number one. The soil must be prepared. We, that we say not, ye shall be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Now I'm going to finish in verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make you beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, it's always so precious. And Lord, today I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would speak to men and women, boys and girls. Lord, we never know. This is being recorded. And somewhere down life's road in our modern society, people pull up podcasts. They pull up recordings of preaching and teaching. And I pray, Lord, that this gospel that you've given us through the inspiration of He, the Holy Spirit, would plant. And Lord, you would water, and that you would give the increase as we're faithful today to serve you here until you come for us. Bless Brother Carol. Thank you for these great folks here at the church. And Lord, may we realize that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, according to 1 Corinthians 15:58. And we'll thank you to give you all the honor and the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name, and for Christ's sake we pray. Amen. If I might explain this, and I know we've got some wonderful teachers here, but when you teach the Word of God and you read that, said, now, Brother Hansard, I've heard that, but just give us a little insight. You can have it just like I do. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the teacher. But what has happened here is Paul is bragging on one church, and he wants the other church, the household of faith, to keep their promise, and that is be faithful in church. When pastor makes his itinerary, I don't know how he does things, but a lot of pastors, they'll make an annual itinerary of what we're going to be doing that year. Now, I wasn't always that organized, but pastor that I work with, he says, now, Brother James, we're going to do this, this, and this, and this. And I said, now it's tentative. You could change plans, or I could change plans, but this is a guideline. And I believe that when it comes to sowing and reaping, we have to understand that God is saying here through the Apostle Paul, because he had already been in the Philippian jail. You know, I told you I'm teaching in Sunday school. I'm teaching. He had already been in the Philippian jail, and that's where they were beaten. And then the jailer, amen, got under conviction, and he said, what must I do to be saved? And those famous scriptures that we read in the book of Acts, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Can you remember when that happened to you? You might not have persecuted a Christian. You might not have been ungodly, but you were unsaved. You were ungodly. But you know, when I started in the jail ministry, I'd go in and they would be in there and I'd say, Lord, how am I going to empathize with these men? And we had we didn't go to the women, but sometimes later on when I went to maximum security prison, there were ladies and they had escorts. We went in there. But my thought is here, when you are planted in a place, you might say, I feel uncomfortable here. But you know what? God had put me in the jail ministry there in Chattanooga because he wanted to show me that my labor would not be in vain, because I would preach. And the pastor always says, now you got about 10 minutes. He'd sing a song, and then I'd preach. And I'd see men weep and cry. And I got some correspondence. Thank you, Brother Hanser, for my new husband. Men were changed because of the gospel. I planted, God watered, and he gave the increase. It might have been I planted it. Another preacher came in and preached the same message, but God brought the conviction and the changing. Paul is saying here, now as a church, we need to give our times. We need to give our abilities to the church. So when you sow, you sow to what? Encourage others. You remember this morning? To encourage others, right? And to be an example. So when we give, and by the way, my Bible, where is it? Right here. I forgot to, my billfold's in the car, so that's my offering right there. I'm sorry. I want to be an encouragement. God probably thought, Mister, he ain't even giving the money. But when we give, you know what, when we were going on deputation, Pastor, I would always give my offering to the boys. We had the two boys with us. And they said, Daddy, why are you giving it to us? I said, I want to encourage you to give when you grow older. This is the little things in life. So when we encourage others, and that's what Paul was doing here. See, if you can picture this, I told you I'm a picture person. Macedonia is in the north, okay? Achaia is in the south, okay? I'm not prejudiced, okay? There is a Mason-Dixon line, but I'm not prejudiced, okay? There's the north, because I worked in Indonesia with people from all over the world. But I'm just saying, get this in your mind. Paul says, those people up there in Macedonia, you know, Berea and Philippi, they were really doing great. But you guys down there in Achaia, which is in the south, you made a promise, but you didn't keep it. Okay? Like Kathy and I, the night we walked down to that altar, and the preacher from Texas, as I mentioned, was preaching, all the missionaries were standing there, and they said, now these missionaries have made a promise, a commitment to serve in their field. And I thought, Lord, I can't get my mind around it. I'm just trying to obey you. But as time went on, God showed us, as we see here, that they were an encouragement. Why? Because it says, lest happily if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared. See, God had been preparing Kathy and I in our church. Now, there might be someone here. He said, Brother James, we're too old. Mm-mm. No. You remember that story? Moses was 40 to find out he was a nobody. And then 40 more years, how old was he? 80. Now, some of y'all are under 80. I can tell that, okay? You still got time. You say, well, I can't go to the jails. Do like my mother-in-law did. And we keep her. She's 90. She lives with us. She sits there and reads her Bible and prays. You need to be prepared to say, Lord, here am I, send me. Are you prepared? All right, number two, we need to not only sow to encourage others, but number two, look at verse 6. It will bless others. Look at verse 6. If I plant these in my yard, in the flower bed, our neighbors, they already see me. I've got, you know what knockout roses are. I've got some roses there because we live on roses, but they're going to say, wow, they planted some roses. But your preparedness is not just for you, it's for others. Look at verse 6. The Bible says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly. Now, if I got out there and just put a few little seeds out there, and I've planted these before, and the key to these flowers growing is you got to have the right soil, but you got to put a lot of them, okay? I mean, a lot of them. My grandpa was Goel Hansard. And you say, Goel, yeah, Book of Ruth, you know, the kinsman redeemer. You say, I don't know about what, Pastor, you'll explain that later. I mean, you got to plant. My grandpa Goel, he loved to farm. He moved out to Texas, and you know what? He planted, but you know, his sisters dug the soil and they hit oil. Now, I didn't get in on that. That's the other answer from Texas. But you know what? They both were in the dirt. And you've got to get your hands dirty, if you don't mind the cliche, to be in ministry. You got. I'll give another example. We started here in Crestview, had a couple come in. They were on alcohol and drugs, got delivered by the grace of God. We sowed in them every day. Pastor and I went over to their trailer, fixed it up. I mean, it looked good. Gave her my wife's bicycle, gave him some tools. How many, I don't know, what was it, maybe a year later or so. Yeah, we've been there 2 years. She took her life. He come home, he took his life. He said, oh, see, you got to sow. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. So don't be discouraged. Pastor, I want to encourage you. You're doing great. These people love you. You're their shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and another they will not follow. This is in the Word of God. Pray for your pastor. Respect him. So what you sow will bless others. Look at verse 7. It says, let's finish verse 6. But I say, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap a little. You sow a little, reap a little. And he that soweth what? A bunch, bountifully, shall reap a bunch. See, it's my grandpa. My grandpa would go down to the cotton gin. They'd say, Brother Hanser, get over here. He was their calculator. You know, we didn't have, back then, you know, they didn't have they'd say, figure this up, and we call it decipher. He'd get it in his head like that. He was good. He'd play the violin. I guess that's where I got I can't play anything but the radio, but she plays and sings. I love to sing, make joyful noise. But my grandmother would play the piano and sing, but I'm just saying, it's in the DNA. We're sinners because of Adam, but we have gifts and talents. If we'll just say, Lord, I want to sow and use what I have. Are you going to sow a little or a lot? Oh, I want a lot. Well, you got to sow a lot. It may take years. Well, I don't know. Do you have a church? Do you have a family sent out of this church yet? Okay. That will be a crowning. That's my point today. Pastor says, I want you to do the climax of missions. You know what that is? Someone being sent out of this church. You say, really? We go. You may have a prison ministry. You may have a nursing home ministry. I've worked in all those. But when you have a family that says God's called us, it may be just 20, 30, 40, 50 miles from here. But God calls a young couple. It could be an older couple. We've had older couples surrender. Your kids are grown. You got a little bit, what little Social Security gives you, limited income. You say, God wants us to work in this ministry. Brother Oliver served God. He's still serving God. His wife died. She could fix a cake. It's called a four-square cake. I mean, it was good, Miss Bonnie, but the Lord took her home. You know what? Every time I call him, where are you at, Brother Oliver? Oh, Brother James, I'm in church every night. And he's over 83 years old. Every night. He said, that's a little bit much. What? He's sowing. He's reaping what he sowed. He said, Bonnie's going on to be the Lord. He said, I don't want to remarry. He said, I'm too old. And he has leukemia. I mean, he's what, one of those breathers? I mean, but he goes. He's reaping what he sowed. He's an electrician. He could have a job anywhere. He could be a boss. You see, he's 80-something years old, but he could have a stable income. But he says, I just go. I'll preach a little bit. And he says, I'm just going to go there because God's called him. So our sowing will encourage others. It will bless others. Then what will it do? Look at verse 12. In 2 Corinthians 9, it'll meet a need. How many times have you slipped up to somebody? My dad used to do this as a tent preacher. He'd slip up and he says, here, go give them a $20 bill. And back then in 1954, or just say 62 when I saved, a $20 bill was a lot of money. I said, Dad, why are you doing that? He says, you obey God. Look in verse 12. It says, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the wants of the saints. He said, what does that mean, Brother James? Well, my Bible says render their administration. It means the needs are met. It says supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. I put down there, it's for all and any that want to obey the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Has anybody ever, I did this the other day, he said, this is strange. I was at the gas station. And he didn't know who I was. I didn't say, oh, I'm a missionary with Macedonia, World Baptist Missions. I didn't have a title or anything. And the Lord said, give that man some money. He said, you do that? Yeah. And it was like I gave that guy, he won the lottery. And it was just what? $5. It was a number of grace. He said, you would do that for me? I said, yeah, God said do that. I mean, and that's sometimes the way I pass out tracts. He said, you have to do that every tract you get out? No. But I'm just saying the emphasis is there. You are ministering to others outside the church. It's easy to come to church and shout and sing hallelujah. But when you get outside the doors of this church, there is a world there that needs the gospel. You say, I know that, Brother James. But you're sowing. Why? You want to encourage others. We have this little thank you note that we use. And I use this with the military too. You can use them. It's got our church on it. And it says, thank you sincerely. And inside of it, what it says is here, for your excellent service. That's what that word means there. It says, for the administration of this service. That's a big word. Well, the Holy Ghost knows how to use big words, just like superfluous. It's not necessary. It says, why should a man get up here? The foolishness of preaching. It doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means we should just be doing it. And when we hear it, we'll say, that's me. I'm going to do it too. You join as a team. It's the faith, but it's the household of faith. You are a faith what? Family. And that's what this church is. That's what my church is. We've been there for 40-something years. Yeah, Jamie's almost 50, our oldest son. Man, that's a track record. A lot of times when we went to the mission field, they'd say, what home church are you out of? Why are we talking about home church? See, when you send out a missionary, he must have a home church. When he applies with Macedonia World Baptist Missions, the pastor comes in on the board meeting, because I've sat there. And they say, well, pastor, has he been doing something at church? We're not going to send him out if he ain't been doing something at the church, at least 2 or 3 years. See, there's the qualifications. We are here to encourage others. We're to instill in them, but we don't just enlist anybody. When I was in the military, you know, I wanted to jump out of planes, and everybody said, why you don't do that? It's fine. But I couldn't do that because of my eyesight. The Bible tells us what we do it as unto the Lord. Now look at verse 13. This is why we do it. It's to glorify God. Whilst by the experiment of this manifestation, what is it? What's that manifest? Brother James, you're reading all these big words. It's Bible. What does it mean? It says, while by the experiment of this manifestation, they what? Glorify God for your professed subjection to Pastor Carol. When the pastor says, you know what? I would really like a big burger from Edge. You go get it. I'll eat there, I know. And I'd like a blueberry milkshake. I'll get it, sister. See, that's what I was. I was ordained a deacon, and the deacon said, pastor, what do I do? What do I do? Now, there's elders of the church, but the deacon said, pastor, how can I help? How can I help? I was ordained in the late 70s. But then when I was called to preach in 1979, everybody says, well, you're not a deacon anymore. I said, have you ever been in a service where they charged a preacher and a deacon? And the wife's sitting there and you're grilling them and they're not a steak? I mean, when you charge somebody that they're going to preach the word, and if you threaten them that if they don't preach the same doctrine they were ordained, you're going to withdraw their calling. That's serious business. So when you're talking about, when I go to the mission field and I was there, and the same way we're doing it at Crestview, when you have someone down, and we don't have a deacon yet because we're not that big. We've got 40. But pastor says, well, when we get 45, 50, maybe we might have a deacon. We don't know. But right now he and I are doing the work. He says, you need to what? As it says here in verse 13, whilst by the experiment of this manifestation, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your what? Liberal. When I sow these seeds, I'm going to. See, when my grandpa Goel would sow, he'd always, I've heard these stories, but I remember him being a chicken farmer too. He'd say, Junior, because I'm a junior, he'd say, Junior, you need to do this and this and this. But when you plant, what do you put back? You put seed back for the what? The next sowing season, right? That's why when we sow, you say, well, Brother James, you've been to Indonesia and you're 60-something years old, almost 70. Why don't you just kind of slow down? I just feel like I'm getting started, Brother Carol. I've had all these surgeries, and Kathy's got a T-shirt that says something about having all the original parts. Well, it's not that way anymore. I wouldn't be seeing you if I didn't have all these grafts in my eyes. I've got grafts, and when you go to Atlanta and get an eye transplant or a graft, you don't know who the donor is. It's private. I'm just saying, when you give to missions, well, I didn't see no fruit from that. When you get to heaven and you stand at the bema seat where it'll be gold, silver, or bronze, you hope it isn't wood, hay, and stubble. You know, the Bible says, we'll be judged. We'll give an account for the deeds done in this body, whether they be good or bad. So what you do, whether you support one missionary or you support 100. See, my home church, we support over 100, but that's a big church. It's been in existence for 194 years. I'm saying your sowing, it encourages others. Like when a child or a young couple sees somebody giving, they say, oh, they give. I had an example the other day. We were in the last fellowship we were at. You know, Brother Stevens, he's a pastor there. He said, this couple got married. He said, I didn't think they'd ever last. He said, but we left and went to Warner Robins up there at Dobbins, or near Dobbins. I was at Dobbins in Atlanta. We come back and they were going to church. I went to church with them, and he said, when the Sunday school preacher or teacher taught, he said, I got under conviction because I thought that couple would never last. He said, I thought we had the perfect marriage. See, what he was doing was seeing the manifestation of somebody that was in the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, they had obeyed it. And he said, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and he said, I was gripping the back of the pew, and he said, I went down. And he said, my wife got saved on that side. I got saved on this side. See, we've got to sow the seed. Your neighbor may be waiting for you just to knock on their door and come over and not borrow a bag or a cup of sugar, but just say, hey, I just want to be, what, a little sweetness today and let you know how much I appreciate you not being an ungodly neighbor, but being godly. And that's why it's so important that we unite people together. So we're encouraging others. We're blessing others. We see a need. But what do we do it? We do it for God. Look at verse 13. It says in the last, for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. So it's not just here at church, but it's around the world. Then lastly, look at verse 14 and 15. The Bible says in verse 14 and 15, it says, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You say, well, I've heard that verse, but you know what? I looked that verse up, and you know what that is? That's none other than John 3:16 in reality. It's for his unspeakable gift. So when you go to Indonesia or you go to Crestview and you're talking to people, we knocked on the door of a lady the other day, and she says, I'm a Muslim. I thought, oh, I could talk to her. I know a lot about being a Muslim because I work with them. But then Pastor, you know, he takes the lead and I'm just kind of there as the help, you know. But a lot of times I'll talk too. And he started talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. She says, I don't want to hear it. Boom. And the conversation was over. When you meet people in Crestview, Florida that are just as common looking as we are and they say they're Muslim, somebody has not shared the truth with them, or either they've received a lie. The Bible says the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. So when we're preaching and teaching, it's not always about what you can give in the offering plate. It's talking about what you can give yourself. You say, what are my talents and gifts? Well, if you look at that truth in the Bible about the gifts, it's talking about everybody received what? The same salary when the day was over. A penny's wage. So in Indonesia, I can relate to that. You can hire somebody, Brother Carroll, to do your grass real cheap. You know, I'd get out there and I'd squat down. I don't know if I can do it today, but you'd squat down. You'd be cutting the grass the way they cut it. I said, what are you doing? I said, I want to be an example to you. I want to win you to Christ. Well, you don't need to do that. I said, but you need to receive God's faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And God wants to birth you into his family. It's not just the white man. I said, but God wants to birth you into his family by the grace of God. And that's why when we give, it may not just be putting flowers out in your yard, but you know what? One day you're going to walk by the casket of somebody. Just a few days ago, one of our good friends passed away. We've had, I think, over five people that are very close to us just pass away recently. So we know, my mom used to sing that song, Just a Rose Will Do. But I tell you, when you think about eternity, when we sow the word of God, God is going to bring forth fruit. Why? Because he said his grace would abound. Let me just close with this thought. When we sow the word of God, we have to realize that it's not something that's temporal, but it's eternal. And that's why this morning I do this, because my wife, you know, I love her and I want to do that. But I thought about this thought about what it means for us to surrender and give our lives. And it's simply this, that when we apply God's word to our heart and our life, it's not just praying daily. It's not just to get our wants and our wishes. It's not just to study the word of God so we can check a box off. It's not just so we can tell somebody at church, oh, I witnessed this week. But the bottom line, and God is our witness, is that when we stand before Him, not at the great white throne, that's for the lost, but at the bema seat, we'll hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So this morning, missions is all about giving out yourself to others. And that's why this morning, when you think about giving, it's not just in the offering plate, it's what you give of yourself. And as I said, I want to be faithful, but the summit of missions to me is just sowing the seed. And God will give increase. Don't be discouraged, but let God do the work. Will you do it? You can do it by faith, because the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I know that when we go in a church, we're taking a solemn responsibility to stand in the sacred desk, the pulpit of every pastor and every church. Lord, one day I'll give an account for what I said today. And Lord, you said in your word that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Lord, we're thankful that it works in Indonesia. It works in Europe. Lord, it works in Africa, but it works right here in Ponce de Leon, where the word of God's being preached AM and PM by Pastor Chris Carroll. I pray, Lord, today that you would reward this church for their faithfulness, not just to Macedonia, but to the community, because there are men and women, boys and girls here that have not heard and do not experience saving faith. Therefore, they're not in the family of God. And when you come for us, Lord, they will not go up. They will be left. And we've taught it so many times that the Antichrist will come on the scene. He'll rule for 3.5 years and make things sound good. But then when he unveils, he'll have that feigned faith. But unfeigned means we are not masked. We're truthful, we're transparent. And he reveals that he is empowered by the father of a lie, Satan. Then they'll say, I wish I'd have gone over to old Zion Baptist Church if I could hear the gospel once again. Lord, help us to know that we're sowing today, and one day we'll reap if we faint not. Lord, may your will be accomplished if there's someone today under the sound of the gospel. And Lord, they've heard, for God so loved the world. But Lord, may they make it personal and say, for God so loved me, that he gave his only begotten son, that I should believe and never perish. And Lord, thank you that we have the story of the gospel, not just a story, but we have the living word that liveth and abideth forever. Now bless today and have your will and way, and bring them back to church. If they have church tonight, I know we'll have it in Crestview. And Lord, may you empower pastor to be a servant that always preaches, thus saith the gospel. And we'll thank you and praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Carroll.